Do you think I can do this without screwing up?
First, we need to establish the fact that you do understand that to start the show, you have to say this is Cake and Cookies, blah, 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 blah.
We've not even gotten to that part yet because maybe I'm out of practice because of our infrequent recording schedule.
You think?
Also, I think someone might have monkeyed with my knobs.
Why would someone do that?
I don't know. I'm not blaming anybody, Robert.
Why would Robert be monkeying with your knobs?
Hateful. He's hateful. You know how it is when you're 17 and you got that big grudge against your father and it's like, I don't like my dad. I'm going to go mess with his gain. That's what most kids do.
I'm pretty sure that's not correct.
Yeah, the kids do that and they vape, they twerk, and they mess with my gain.
I don't think the twerking, vaping, have neither of those have anything to do with your gain.
He's so grounded for touching my gain. And also, he might have soaped out some windows. I know the kids do that. It's a Halloween prank. I saw it on Little House on the Prairie. Kids are up to no good.
This book?
Oh, we have to get to the book. Which means
we got
to start the show.
Oh, let's do that.
Let's do that, and then we'll do that, and then we can talk about Robert bobbing for apples and soaping windows and all the other things that are popular with teenagers today that I learned about on Little House on the Prairie.
Is that true?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm lost.
I believe anything I'm told.
All right, then I'm hip.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I'm lit. I'm woke.
No.
Yeah. Eric Stilginski said, look at Rob. He's all litty.
No.
No?
G. Gordon.
That's right. Oh, Dude Walker.
Cake and Cookies. Rob and Katie. It's the Rob and Katie Show.
Welcome to Cake and Cookies. I'm Cake.
I'm Cookie.
And the third time's the charm.
Yes.
And this is the third time.
Actually, I think it's the fourth.
Don't be clever. Okay, be clever. I don't care.
You believe not even clever. It's just the truth.
You believe everything you're told.
I do.
This is the third.
Third time.
A semi-annual look at our lives to prove, in contrast and comparison, that your life is not so bad.
Not so bad.
And we normally end with questions, right?
True.
Today we begin with questions.
Because Dirk Bastrick came in strong.
Yeah, and you have a book.
I do. I have a book.
A book? And the book came with your who's?
Yes, it was a gift from our realtor.
I bet they bought a lot of them and they give it to everybody. Don't think you're so special.
I don't. The book is First Come, First Served in Savannah, A Taste of Southern History and Hospitality.
Oh, because you are a northerner, she probably wanted to help ease you in to the culture.
Absolutely.
Because as people know, you were born and bred in Boston.
No.
No, you weren't. No, you're Ohio people.
I mean, Dan originated in the California.
But Northern or Southern California?
The San Francisco area, so Northern-ish.
Okay, so he's not part of the surfing culture.
No.
He's not a beach boy.
No.
Nor is he a Hollywood elite.
But he was only there till he was like 9 or 10.
Because he couldn't break into the studio system, and he said, screw it, I'm quitting acting, and I'm leaving California.
I don't think that's true. I think his parents moved, and he kind of went with them to Washington, D.C.
But true or false, the parents left because they were disappointed they couldn't turn Dan into a child star.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the same old story. I've heard it a million times.
Yeah. We've got to get out of this city.
I mean, he booked a few commercials.
No star potential there.
You remember him in the peppermint candy commercial? He was great.
I don't.
And his popular catchphrase. Remember, this is Dan when he's only 9. But his popular catchphrase was, hey, give me a candy cane. Everyone remembers that commercial.
No. I have no idea what you're talking about. There are commercials for candy cane?
Well, sure. They ran outside of Christmas because...
Is this because I believe anything I'm told?
Yes, because Christmas time, everybody buys candy canes.
I'm thinking, oh, he'll look it up. He'll find it. He'll play it for me.
No, I'm just making up things now. But my theory is this.
Taking advantage of me.
No, but my theory is this. Candy canes sell great late November through most of December because of Christmas.
Right.
But selling a candy cane in June, that's the task. So they hired Dan to make the commercial, and the catchphrase was, do you remember?
It's great.
No. Hey, give me that candy cane.
Oh, hey, give me that candy cane.
That popular ad campaign. But that's why he left California.
I gotta write that down. I'll hit him with that when he walks through the door today, and he's going to, he'll be like, how did you know?
You know what's great about it is he'll probably remember. Hey, give me that candy cane.
Give me that candy
cane.
Cane.
Hey. Hey.
Hey.
Give me that candy cane.
Give me that candy cane.
But that's not why we brought you here. Because you got this book.
I do. So, okay. So I typically hate the questions, as we've discussed before.
And I didn't realize that until the time that I decided to do an entire show, all questions. And you're like, I don't want to do that. Because I don't like doing the questions.
I don't.
But I think the questions are a popular segment of our show. It's where we bring something that other people don't.
So, fan favorite, Dirk Vastrick.
Yes, good guy,
asks,
good guy, good guy.
What is Savannah's most popular signature alcoholic drink, and how do you make it?
Now, you see, before you go to the book and give the actual answer, I had a guess, which was, of course, wrong. And that
what
is...
What was your guess?
Pirate House Hot Cider, which is my favorite drink.
No. Served in a skull mug.
But that's not right.
So
what is the most popular
I immediately drink? knew what it was.
Okay.
What I did not expect is I've gone through this book multiple times because it does have some cool history in it. What I didn't realize was see if I need to go to the table of contents or if there's an appendix.
Right.
Because I immediately think.
How long have you had the book?
Since we moved in.
So, because a lot of times when people get into their 20s, they have their appendix removed. So it might not be there anymore.
I still have mine.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at us.
That's why I'm overweight. If I could take it out, I'd be a few ounces lighter.
Maybe. I don't know how big those things are.
Oh, mine's
so
huge.
So we were given this book, and I'm thinking immediately, artillery punch.
Right. I've heard of this.
Right. So I go to the table of contents to see if I can figure out where it might be.
Chase it down.
And, oh, I didn't have to chase very far because, as with Savannah, The first chapter is beverages.
Of course it is.
That's so Savannah.
And we're not talking lemonade.
No. We're talking things that...
Before we get to the recipe, can you actually read Dirk's letter?
I did.
You read it in its entirety? That was all there was to it? I want to make sure...
That's all there was to it.
Well, he's eager to get to the base of this.
What is Savannah's most popular signature alcoholic drink,
and
how do you make it?
Okay.
And Lois Gaiman.
I don't know when we need to get into all that.
She liked the question.
Oh, well, thank you, Janet. Lois,
what?
I don't know.
No.
Hey, give me that candy cane.
So it is. It's the very first recipe.
Do you think it's because it's alphabetical?
No, because it's technically called Chatham Artillery Punch.
Oh, okay. All right.
Chatham County being where Savannah is located.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would think that it might be pronounced Chatham.
Yes. Or Cheatham.
It's Chatham.
Chatham. Mm-hmm. Hey, give me that candy cane.
Now, this, I was kind of surprised. So it has the modern recipe, but then it also gives the original background. So I'll just go through the...
Was there a Chatham family?
Probably.
Okay. You didn't read the whole book then. You don't know the
ending. No.
Is Dan in the book?
No.
Okay.
Before they go into the recipes, there's a little blurb called Spirited Savannah. We're all alcoholics. And then what the difference between a punch and a julep is.
Well, can you do that first? Because now I'm curious.
Oh, Christ.
I know a punch. Hey, easy. I know a punch has a lot to do with ratios of like base to alcohol to whatever and sugar?
Okay. So on May 1st, 1783, the Georgia Gazette reported that the Treaty of Paris had been signed, thus ending the war for American independence. In gleeful response to this news, the Chatham Regiment of Militia, also known as the Chatham Artillery, joined in the many toasts being made that day.
That's a great song by the Allman Brothers.
And this Militia. Is the first association between the Chatham Artillery and its infamous punch.
Okay. Now, you, a lot of times when you talk about militia and a punch, it would be a blow to the face with a fist. But this is a beverage.
It's a beverage. It packs a wallop, though.
Sure it does. Maybe afterwards you'd rather have been punched in the face.
Okay, so...
Sweet militia.
Mint juleps are also the subject for debate, not only in Savannah, but also throughout the South. Did you know this?
Well, I know that every time there's a subject of a drink, there's always at least two stories.
Oh, it's the contention of the origin.
Oh, okay.
No. Here, the contentions are not about the origin of a julep, but its proper preparation.
Okay, now I'm all ears.
Some favor preparing a simple sugar syrup ahead of time, and others like the spur-of-the-moment method. I don't know what that means.
Okay, I believe that would mean the muddling of mint and sugar in the base of the glass.
Oh, instead you make the simple syrup.
I do, and I like to infuse it with mint, but that also has to do with speed of preparation.
Mm-hmm. Whichever method is used, juleps are a welcome addition at traditional Southern gatherings.
I have a hunch that almost everything in that book is going to end with, no matter what you think, as long as you're drinking, you're fine. Good night.
Yes. Okay. So I will give you now the
modern version of artillery punch,
which makes 12 gallons.
12 gallons and serves four.
Hand to God.
Okay.
12 gallons.
That's a lot.
Okay. 1 pound green tea.
Are you allowed to double this recipe?
Only if you have a bathtub.
Exactly. Okay.
So 1 pound of green tea, 2 gallons of cold water. The juice of 3 dozen lemons, the juice of 3 dozen oranges.
Okay.
Hold on, wait for it.
Snort.
I should have read through this before I started.
No, I like it better this way.
I grabbed the book right before we, okay.
Like it much better this way.
5 pounds of brown sugar, firmly packed.
Of course, because otherwise you're only getting like 4 pounds and 15 ounces.
Okay, you're going to have to help me with this because I don't even know what this is.
All right.
3 gallons of Catawba.
Spell it.
Catawba wine.
I think Catawba is a melon, but I will check even as we speak.
Catawba.
Okay, keep going.
Okay. 1 gallon of rum, 1 gallon of brandy, 1 gallon rye whiskey, 1 gallon gin.
Oh my God.
Hold on, gets better.
My head is starting to hurt just thinking of this.
2 quarts of maraschino cherries, undrained.
Catawba is a variety of grape.
Okay.
It's also a town in Ohio.
15 750 milliliter bottles of champagne.
You have to be out of your mind excited. How many bottles of champagne?
15.
Okay, here's my problem with that. By the time you've opened and poured your 15th bottle into your bathtub, the first bottle's already gone flat.
You think that's time consuming. Wait for this.
Okay.
So here's how you prepare these things.
You don't serve it in like a bread bowl, do you?
No, it's your bathtub.
Of course, obviously.
I would take a swim in this.
Oh, God.
Combine tea and cold water and allow to stand overnight.
Okay, you're steeping your tea.
Already, this is time consumption.
Right.
Strain and mix the tea with the lemon and orange juices.
You almost have to know you're going to win the war in advance to have this ready in time for the celebration.
Oh, wait for it. Okay. We're not there yet.
Okay.
Add sugar, wine, rum, brandy, whiskey, and gin. let the stock stand for 2 to 6 weeks.
What?
Stirring occasionally.
No. I don't want this punch anymore.
Okay. When it's ready to serve, 2 to 6 weeks. Like, how did, I don't.
There have been wars that have lasted less time than the making of the wine punch to celebrate the end of the war.
And they call it stock, not.
Yeah, that's a little bothersome.
Okay. Strain the stock of the pulp.
Okay.
Okay. And here's how you serve it. Add cherries with juice and champagne. Stir well before serving.
Now, do you think that it's best served, like, put some stock in your punch bowl or put some stock in your punch cup, then add the champagne and the cherries? You can't be
that's
adding
what it says. That's what it says to do. You, like the stock, yeah.
Oh, you do like a serving, because you can't do like a huge bowl of it.
I mean, I imagine you just walk yourself into the bathroom and there's like a ladle on the edge of the tub.
And there's a big shower curtain with Dan on it.
Yes. So you just, and then you ladle out your.
And then you say the popular catchphrase, hey, give me that candy cane.
All right. So
that's the modern version.
That's the modern version.
So the fact that it sounds like it's from 400 years ago already makes me shudder at the thought of the original version.
Okay. So here is, and this isn't, it's not laid out like a, here, look. This is the original version.
Okay.
These are recipes.
All right.
The original version is laid out in sort of a historical blurb on the side of the page.
Understood.
Let me get a sip here, because this is.
Are you having some artillery punch there?
No, that would be coffee.
Let me send down 15 bottles of champagne and we'll get started.
I'm in sober October right now.
That's not okay.
Okay. The original Chatham artillery punch recipe was equal parts rum, brandy, and whiskey mixed with sugar and lemons. This mixture was allowed to mature over several days. Oh, in tubs or horse buckets.
Hey!
Hey.
Can I borrow your horse bucket?
Hay is for horses.
That's true.
When the mixture was deemed to be ready, ice was added, then champagne was poured over the ice, thus completing the preparation of this most spirited of Savannah's concoction, the infamous Chatham Artillery Punch.
You know what's great is the old version, there's no mention of water. It's pure booze.
Or tea.
Yeah. No,
but maybe that's because this was before the Boston Tea Party.
Dirk, are you making your tea? Are you getting ready? Are you preparing your stock? Dirk, do you have a horse bucket?
He's still cleaning out the bathtub.
Give it a good rinsing.
Good rinsing. And here they follow it up with the most appropriate saying.
Okay.
In Charleston, they want to know who your people are. In Augusta, what your church is. And in Savannah, what you want to drink.
That's so true. And after you drink artillery punch, they want to know. Who is your healthcare provider?
Because at the end of this little historical blurb, it says Savannah is known as a city that loves its spirits. Nothing confirms this better than the powerful brew known as Chatham Artillery Punch.
Yeah, it sounds pretty wicked.
It's blah, blah, blah.
So, have you ever had it?
Yeah.
Really? Where?
At my friend Stephanie's house.
And why does she hate you?
I tasted it.
Yeah.
Not my favorite.
It would
but she made sort of like the old version of it. There wasn't really tea involved.
How about cherries?
There were cherries.
I love cherries.
So I guess maybe it was a combination of the old and new.
Ah, everything old is new again.
Yeah. Although, were there maraschino cherries in the late 1700s?
I don't think so. I think it might have just been cherries, like actual cherries. Because maraschino cherries don't taste like cherries. They taste like almond.
Yeah. So that must have been it. But I do like that both versions involve champagne.
How about may I offer this? Although that seems nice, I would rather have 1.5 ounces of whiskey, 1 7.5-ounce portion of Grand Marnier, a slight splash of cranberry, and then fill with hot cider. And that is the Pirate House Hot Cider.
Maybe. I think that was something that they made up that day.
I don't know, because remember when
this is your version of Chasing Amy.
Okay, I suppose. The white whale. It's good, though. It's very good. Although I'm not sure why they need a lot of hot beverages in a town where the average temperature is 110.
It was January 1st.
That's right. Oh, that's right. And it was still warm enough that we went to the beach.
We did. Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
And we went to the beach. We got the huge, huge Bloody Marys and then to the Pirate House for more drinks.
Yes.
So it was a good day.
It was a good day. It was a great day. Was that the day that I fell off the couch?
Maybe.
I believe so. Playing Jenga, which yes. makes me nervous.
Yes. Yeah, well, it gives you vertigo.
Would you like to know some of the other recipes? No, I won't tell you the recipes, but the names of the
yeah,
drinks.
And if anything piques my interest, I would love to go further.
Southern Comfort Punch.
Oh, I like that, I bet. Southern Comfort, like, can I guess?
Sure.
It would have Southern Comfort, the cordial, of course. I'm guessing the flavor base, ginger ale?
No.
No, orange something?
You're pretty close.
What is it?
You hit on two things there. Lemon lime soda.
Okay, Sprite.
Yeah, and one count of frozen orange juice.
Okay, yeah. I bet ginger ale would work, but yeah, you know what? Maybe not. You know what? Maybe use 7-Up, huh?
I think that's probably where they're going with that.
Yeah, I like 7-Up.
Because there's also frozen lemonade concentrate.
Yum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then sugar to taste.
Yes, because after you add Sprite and lemon concentrate and orange juice concentrate and Southern Comfort, what you need is sugar. Wow.
We have whiskey slush. I think that's also pretty self-explanatory.
Also, isn't that your vanity license plate?
No, that's whiskey slut.
Oh, right. Whiskey slush was taken.
In a hurry, hurricane brew.
Oh, because you don't want to take the time to make a proper hurricane?
No, I think maybe...
Oh, this is not the drink, the hurricane.
Right, this is because you're in a hurry.
In a hurricane. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was thinking New Orleans. What isn't that?
Half of a 64-ounce bottle of red fruit punch.
Classy to begin with.
That's... One can frozen limeade concentrate.
Okay.
One can frozen orange juice.
Uh-huh.
1 2/3. Why would you go 1 2/3 cups of light rum? Why wouldn't you just do 2 cups of light rum?
You know everybody's doing that.
1 2/3 cups of light rum, also of dark rum.
Okay.
Stir together. Serve over ice until glasses.
And serve over ice until your house blows over.
It's the only thing in here that doesn't say let it steep for 13 days.
Well, yeah, I think it speaks well of your people there in the South that they have the patience to let it steep, because I'm not letting it steep.
No.
I don't even like to let my booze, you know, open up over ice cubes.
Well, this is clearly, this one's because you're in a hurry.
Yeah, well, I mean, the hurricane's coming.
Well, I would imagine by the time that came around, they don't have Noah looking out for you. So if you see it coming, you're quick like a bunny. I need something to deal with this.
Get that frozen orange juice.
Mm-hmm. Which is ginger brew.
I bet you that's delicious.
Ye old wassail.
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 Wassail. That's a Christmas drink, probably.
There's the simmer.
Because, you know, sometimes if you hear older Christmas albums, it's not Here We Come A-Caroling, it's Here We Come A-Wassailing.
Oh, so they're going drinking.
Yeah, well, they're calling on houses, sure.
To give them booze.
Yeah. And and you know what else you say every Christmas? Hey, give me that candy cane.
Give me that candy cane.
I wonder if that's up on YouTube.
I don't know. Maybe
Dance
maybe
Classic.
Dan's mom has an old Beta. Betamax.
Dan's classic Christmas card.
See, we've got Pop's Nog.
I have a weird relationship with eggnog, Katie.
I do too. Mine's a deep sort of PTSD type thing.
I've tried to make it before. It keeps redoubling in size. I ran out of pots and pans and bowls.
There's a Savannah Cinnamon Holiday Punch. I don't think I want any part of that.
Okay. Savannah Cinnamon. Didn't she used to dance down there?
Syllabub?
Sounds like
Is
you're making...
Is this something you've ever heard of?
You're making that up.
No.
Syllabub?
Syllabub.
What is it?
2 pints of whipping cream.
I'm in.
1 cup half and half.
Okay, because you don't want it to be too thick.
1 cup sugar.
Okay.
1 cup blended whiskey.
Huh.
Combine all ingredients and stir until the sugar dissolves. Oh, we're cooking this. Beat on medium or high with... Oh, no, we're not cooking this. Beat on medium or high with an electric misker or whisk rapidly by hand until frothy.
You said misker.
Did I?
Yes.
Mixer. Oh. Serve froth in cups or small glasses.
You know what it is? It's a fluffy Bailey's.
Yeah, kind of. Well, blended whiskey, wouldn't that be like Southern Comfort?
No, blended whiskey would just be like, you know what? Crown is a blended whiskey.
Oh, okay. So like it's okay. Then we've got Martha Nesbitt's Irish Coffee.
I hate Martha Nesbitt.
She's such a bitch.
Bitch on wheels.
Damn it. I don't like that word.
Okay, then we won't say it anymore.
Okay.
Martha, more like Martha Nesbitch. Can you say that?
Martha Nesbitch. Yeah.
Okay.
Homemade Irish cream.
Mm-hmm.
Bloody Marys. Then there's like a history of Bloody Marys. Lime tea cooler.
Okay, that would be probably brewed tea. Lime juice.
Lime juice, sugar, tea, and water. Ginger ale and chill.
That's it? How'd that get in there?
I mean, I didn't read off all this.
There's no booze in it?
6 lime sugar, tea, water, ginger ale.
That's a misprint.
It's a misprint.
And a gallon of vodka.
Oh. Next, we have the Flirtini.
The Flirtini. Now, that doesn't sound like old school. That sounds pretty modern. You must love it.
This is the only drink that has an asterisk.
Oh, an asterisk. And what does the asterisk indicate?
Okay, well, first of all, we have 1.5 ounces of vodka, 2 ounces of champagne, 2 ounces of pineapple juice. Serves one.
Okay.
Okay. The asterisk.
Asterisk.
Because it needs you to tell it, like, I don't, maybe because it's late in the chapter, like, right? They expect that you need all the instructions you could possibly get. Okay, so that was obviously a serving for one.
Right.
Asterisk, increase the recipe and make it a pitcher to serve more people.
Oh, so
it's a sipping, and it says it's a sipping kind of drink.
So what they're saying is that if you want more of the drink,
increase the recipe.
So if you doubled the portions, you'd have twice as much.
I like it.
I think I like it. It's a sip and drink. It's a sip and drink for math majors.
Peached iced tea.
Oh, that's fine.
There's no booze in it.
Oh, you know what? You're into the potables now that aren't so potent.
Yeah. Church social sherbet punch.
Oh, we're out. Done. Time to change the subject. We are absolutely... You know what? If there's no booze
in it... Wait. Nope. I see tequila on the next page.
There's tequila on the next page.
Yes, but after the cool coffee punch, which does not also have... booze.
Okay.
But right below that is mango margaritas.
I hate mangoes. We're done with this book starting now. WABC. Now, I pulled a tape for you before we did the show.
Wait, there's a painkiller rum punch, and I have had... Oh, they have painkiller slushies at my favorite place called The Wild.
Now, what makes it a painkiller? It's potent?
A part cream of coconut, 1 part orange juice, 4 parts of dark rum.
Oh.
To taste. And a dash of pineapple juice.
Aspirin to taste.
Yes.
All right. Can you slowly close the book?
But I haven't gotten to the orange blossom champagne punch, the peach fuzzy.
Katie.
Put the river rafts up.
Put the book down. I enjoyed it. But we mustn't press our luck. WABC. Because I pulled a piece of tape for you before we did the show that apparently applies to a story that I have no idea about. And this is one of my favorite things is when you bring me a story that I know not its outcome or its ingredients.
Okay. Yes. So
does this story start with four parts dark rum?
Not for me, but Dan's Sober October went off the rails on Saturday.
Oh, Dan. That's fine, though.
It's fine. Yeah, it's fine. One day of derailment.
Right.
This is fine. So Saturday I sent you, and I also posted on Facebook on my Facebook page.
Right.
Dan and I decided since we weren't drinking, we were going to go walk around downtown. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
So
have you had good weather this week? We've had good weather up here.
Yes. It's been 90s, and now we're in the between like 75 and 85.
Perfect. Perfect.
Sorry, I have a very dry mouth. I don't know why.
Maybe it's the four parts dark rum.
So we walk around. We're going to look for some sort of breakfasty, brunchy lunch. And we know there's a bunch of places in this one area that we like.
Okay.
So this one hotel called the Perry Lane Hotel, I was like, well, obviously they're going to have some sort of breakfast or brunch or something.
Almost have to.
We've only ever been to up on the rooftop.
Okay.
And then I've been to the bar with friends, but I didn't really partake in anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, let's go to the restaurant. So we get there. It's about 11:25.
Okay.
All right. We walk in. We look at the menu. We're like, yes. And then as we're being seated, there's a jazz trio setting up.
Okay, well, that's terrific, right?
Yes. So we're both like, oh, well, this was a good decision.
Uh-huh. You did good.
And they were so good. They were wonderful. We had beautiful breakfast. It was fantastic.
I love food. Can you offer details?
Sure. Dan had,
Candy cane?
No. It was, so this place, as we were walking past the jazz trio, you can see into the kitchen.
Yeah.
And they had chickens roasting, like going around on a roaster.
Hey, I'm not saying your chicken is fat. That's a different kind of roast.
Oh, I was like, what are you saying?
That's right.
Whatever you tell me, I'll believe.
I know.
So my chicken is fat.
No, your chicken is very, it's perfectly healthy.
Oh, okay.
I remember one of the candy cane commercials Dan did had a chicken in it. It was so funny.
Oh, did the chicken like the peppermint?
That was the whole point of it. And
the chicken did like the peppermint.
Not at the beginning.
Oh.
But at the end.
Huh.
And then Dan yelled, hey, give me that candy cane.
So I was like, this place looks amazing.
Yeah.
So he had roasted chicken hash.
Nice.
With two poached eggs on top.
I approve.
It looked really delightful. I had, I don't know how to explain it. It was a piece of bread, all kinds of different, I love mushrooms.
Sure.
All like a sauteed mushrooms, all different kinds. And then, two perfectly sunny side up eggs on top.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. It was. And then we split a side of bacon.
Now, was there mimosas? Were there mimosas?
I had iced tea and Dan had Diet Coke.
Look at you. Sober October.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good way to keep the bill reasonable.
Absolutely.
Right.
So there's jazz playing. It's just a lovely day. So then we go walk around for a while. And there was some work being done on our house. All the outside spigots.
Yes.
They needed replaced, and I didn't want to come home and talk to people. They've already been paid. I had a lovely day.
Sure.
So we were watching on the, watching on the Ring camera.
Yeah.
To see when the car left.
That's great. That gives you that opportunity to be antisocial, but appear accidentally antisocial. When in fact, it's very calculated.
Absolutely. So we wound up, Dan was driving, so the car wound up at Habersham Beverage It's exactly what you think it is.
Yes.
So he buys himself a large bottle of wine.
Sure.
And I buy myself a 6-pack of White Claw.
That's very, very hip of you. All the kids love the White Claw. I will say this. Go back several years in this show. You predicted the rise of hard seltzer. Many years ago, 2 or 3 years ago.
Absolutely.
When it wasn't even a thing yet, and you're all about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now, look, even Corona has a form of hard seltzer.
I know. And people
it's called Refresca.
Now everyone is saying, is it going to survive the winter? Because this was, ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake, 2019 was the summer of the hard seltzer.
Let's be clear, though. Half of the United States doesn't really have a winter.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right. But still.
It's a very northern mentality of you, Rob Spiewak.
Hey, I'd like to know what I know.
I'm sorry?
You get winter. It's just not brutal.
No, it snowed once.
I remember.
Yeah.
Did you have to make a badge of hurry up, it's going to snow punch?
I had to heat the tub first.
Exactly. 4 parts dark rum, 2 snowflakes, and kiss your ass goodbye.
Yes.
Yes. Bless.
So while we're in the Habersham beverage, some people like to call it Happy Shum.
Well, and they should. It's their happy place.
It's one of the best liquor stores I've ever.
I hate saying this because it makes me sound bad. I love a liquor store. It's tough in Virginia because, you know, it's state run in Virginia.
Right. Well, this is, since we've moved here, they've doubled in size and completely renovated everything. So we loved it before.
And now you really love it.
You love it.
Yeah.
But it's smaller than like the ABC stores, obviously, because those are like warehouses.
Sure, sure.
But everything is really well selected.
That's good. There is an outstanding liquor store very close to Podcast Village called Pearson's.
That
was your neighborhood.
Yes.
But it's such a time machine store.
Yeah, it's okay. So imagine Pearson's, but 5 times the size.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah. And it, before they expanded and took over the rest of, like, they built onto, they more than doubled the size. It had a Pearson sort of reminiscent feel.
That's so cool. And the thing, if you want to know what it's like shopping at Pearson's, is after you buy your liquor, they will offer to put it in a box and carry it to your car for you. That's the kind of old school it is. And it's fun. It's very cool.
No, it's so old school. It's Maine, Washington, D.C., Northwest. It has a parking lot,
which is unheard of. That's like the fact that they offer real park, and they have a guy that stands there and makes sure that if you park there, you're shopping at Pearson's.
Yeah, that you are going into Pearson's.
Yeah, and he'll tell you.
Yes.
So anyway, so you go to Happy Place.
Yeah, we see the people leave, then we come home.
How are the new spigots?
Everything is working fine.
That's terrific.
Which is what you want.
So. To turn it to the right. And that buddy turns off, you turn it to the left, and water comes out like nobody's business.
Well, one of them would not turn off.
Oh.
So, well, we had put a hose on it that had a turn off.
Yes.
On it. So that, like, saved us for a little while, but it became pretty clear. They all needed replaced, so.
But everything's good now.
Good as gold.
Right.
Good as gold now.
Right.
So it's sort of mid-late afternoon at this point.
3 o'clock?
Around 3:30,
nice.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we decide we've walked around, toodled about, we've got some TV to catch up on.
Sure.
So, because we don't really get to watch TV during the week.
Right.
Dan gets home pretty late. So we're catching up on all of our shows and we're drinking. I have 3 of my White Claws. And the next thing I know, Dan's bottle of wine is empty.
Oh.
And we're watching, I think at this point we're catching up on maybe New Amsterdam.
Oh, yes.
Love that show.
It's Doctor Show.
Oh, it's so good.
On Fox, right?
No, it's on the NBC.
Oh, the National Broadcasting Company? Mm.
Yes, I believe it comes on before This Is Us.
Yeah, I've got a problem with that show this year.
I stopped watching it.
I continue to hate watch it, which is not healthy.
That's not healthy.
But anyway, we can get into this at another time, but NBC sort of soured me with the continuation of what they're doing with it, but I'm not going to get into it.
Okay. Maybe you will in a little bit. But so
the show is a total Mets.
And why?
Chrissy Metz.
That's why?
Not really, but her plot line is, okay, give me 25 seconds. Start a clock. Boom. The problem with Chrissy Metz's storyline is I'm okay with the fact that the show can be based on flashbacks, but now they're doing flash forwards with their blind son. And am I to believe that 25 years from now, nothing has changed technologically? Everything looks exactly the same. Don't mess with the future. Don't mess with the future, Chrissy Metz. And also, don't try to build up the fact that Toby's lost weight and now he's hot. He's still fat and he's still Toby, okay? Even though he's not as fat, he's still pretty fat. The end.
You did that in 25 seconds.
Thank you.
Because I started it. I counted in my head.
Oh, I have two seconds left.
No, because I counted in my head.
Oh, okay. So it was exactly 25?
Yeah.
Yeah. Take that, NBC.
I think, I didn't like when she, I feel like she didn't treat Toby well when he was going through all of his depressive.
Yeah, that's true.
She just was very centered on having the baby, which I understand and respect that, but to completely miss what was going on with her husband.
Also, Toby went shirtless this week.
Oh, okay. So I believe we're watching the New Amsterdam,
right?
And can hear the dogs barking. They're like,
that's
running
fine.
The yard.
Everybody has their moments.
We're watching. So the dogs are running inside, outside, come around. Who's that brown? And at one point I was like, Dan, where are the dogs? And they're barking.
Right.
We can hear them barking. And he goes, they're in your office. And I was like, it doesn't sound like my office because the windows, usually the bark kind of bounces. I'm like, I guess they're outside and we've got new neighbors. Our neighbors moved, new people moved in. So my God, are they barking at the new neighbors? So I go outside and they're not out back. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess they are in the office. That's fine. So I sit down and we're in it. It's pretty loud.
Right.
The TV. And then it gets quiet and I'm like, oh, thank God they've, you know, whatever.
They've settled. Squirrel.
Yeah. And then my phone rings.
Yes.
And it's a 91. It's a Savannah number.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know why I picked it up. I usually don't.
Right.
But I picked it up. And this person says, so do you live on 54th Street? And I'm thinking, oh, God, the neighbors are going to complain about the dogs barking.
Right.
How'd they get my number?
Yeah. And
yes, I do. And they said, okay, do you have dogs? And immediately, I know.
What?
I'm up and I said, yes, I do. And I start looking for my shoes.
Right.
It's too quiet. So I said, yes, I do. I have three beagles. And the person goes, well, this kind of looks like a beagle. And I said, is it Judd? Like, they're going to know, isn't it?
Right, of course.
Oh, Judd. Hi, buddy. Hey. But he's that lemon color. Some people don't
recognize. Yeah, he's a little right. Faded.
And they were looking for me to confirm.
Sure.
That it was my dog, you know. So I was like, damn, the dogs are out. And he goes, what? Because he's
had a bottle of wine.
A giant bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Not just
this is the reason why you can't get work anymore in commercials.
And he has, right? Because he's not looking for candy canes anymore.
No, he's like, hey, give me that wine glass.
But also, he hasn't had a drink in like 2 weeks.
So it got to him quick.
Right. So I was like, oh my God, you're useless. So I run into my office to get my shoes. And Betsy runs inside. I'm like, okay, well, Betsy's here, so close the door. Betsy's inside.
But don't they normally travel in a pack?
Just wait.
Okay.
get my shoes. I look across the street, and Presley is on the front stoop across the street at the bird's house.
Dummy.
Oh, my God. So I'm on the phone with these people. They're a block away
right.
in the other direction. So they're on like 53rd Street. So uh-huh. I'm running and I found flip-flops. Side note, they did not match, but I didn't, whatever.
Well I mean, as long as one is for the left and one is for the right.
So I run with two leashes. Dan goes over. He scoops up Presley. He's mad.
Right, of course.
Walks her back inside. Locks her inside with Betsy while I run around the block to go get Judd.
Right.
Hi, buddy. Every time I say his name.
You talking about me?
What? Hey, Mom. So I go get Judd, and they clearly were trying to. So I had hung up the phone with them. They clearly were trying to make sure that it was definitely my dog.
Right.
Very responsible, elderly couple. They had an elderly lab with them, real white beard, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they didn't question it once they saw me because I was carrying not one, but two leashes.
Right. And I'm sure Judd was happy to see you.
Well, Judd immediately sat down and hung his head.
Oh, because he got caught.
Well, he's not happy to see me. He's like, aw, damn it.
This did not end the way I wanted it to.
And the older couple, they're kind of chuckling
yeah.
to each other. I was like, thank you so much. And I'm just falling all over myself. I appreciate it so much. And I was like, oh, mister, you're in so much trouble. And I put his leash on him. And I was like, come on. And then we jogged home because his head is so small, he slips out of his collar. And I didn't have his harness. So I was like, if I keep him moving, he can't get out of it.
That's so great.
So we run home. And by the time I get him home, we got a big mirror by the front door. I like throw the leash in the box beside the mirror, and I look up and I was like, oh God, this is what I look like.
Oh no.
I'm sweaty.
Right.
Obviously. Cause it's still in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
My hair is kind of insane because I'd had it in a ponytail and then I took the ponytail out and like, there's a whole big hair thing going on.
Right.
And another reason I'm guessing why they didn't question my
authenticity?
Yes, is I'm wearing a shirt that just says dog mom. Paws, paw prints all over it. So I'm in an oh God. Whatever.
Yeah, fight or flight, you gotta go, baby.
Then Dan comes like storming in and he's tipsy and he goes, Katie, I can't figure out where these damn dogs got out. There's this one little place in the back corner. And I was like, they can't fit through there. It's like 3 inches wide.
Right.
It's like, I know. And he goes, then they can't go under the fence. They're too fat. And they can't. And I was like, well, Betsy's not too fat. And he's like, Betsy didn't get out. And I was like, oh.
That's true. He's got you there.
It's true. And Judd and Presley aren't too fat. They're just bigger than Betsy.
Right.
And he's like, I can't figure it out. So we've got the dogs locked inside and we are walking around. And you know how our house is built up?
Yeah.
There's a big, big crawl space.
Yeah.
And most of the houses in Savannah are like that because the ground is sand.
Right.
There's no basements in most houses, mm-hmm. the whole thing. The access to the space under the house, the gate was completely open.
Ah.
So the reason we couldn't figure out where the barking was coming from
yes.
was because they were under the house.
This is Sergeant Sacker. Listen to me. We've traced the call. It's coming from inside the house. Our squad car's wheeled up right now. Just get out of that house.
So now you know what it's like many years from now when their ghosts return to haunt right. you, where the barking comes from and you have, no, I know I hear barking.
Sergeant Sacker, listen to me. We've traced the call. It's coming from inside the house. Our squad car's on the way over there right now. Just get out of that house.
That's so great.
I feel very validated in how well my ears work.
You said, because you knew the barking was coming from a place that you've never heard barking come from before.
Right. And I was like, it was driving me crazy, and
yeah.
then they stopped. So I was like, all right, well, they've settled down for the evening. Well, they stopped because they busted in underneath the house, and then they busted out one of the grates on the side of the house, and that's how they got out.
That's right. It's the Shawshank Redemption, but for dogs.
Right.
They crawled through the most horrible crawl space you've ever seen in your entire life.
Thank God it wasn't like that.
I know. Well, that's. I'm glad you keep your crawl space tidy.
So we secured everything.
Yes.
And then
you
Dan
shut the
and
gate.
I, what?
Shut the crawl space gate.
Yeah, we shut that
gate. Therefore, making
and then
your house impervious to escape.
Walked all the way around to check the rest of their. They're more like vents.
Yeah.
In the rest of the. So I found. Oh, here it is. This is where they pushed it out.
Sure.
Put that one back. Then Dan and I.
You don't think the dogs actually pushed it out? It was left open by the faucet people.
No. Pretty sure it wasn't because it's been painted so many times.
Right.
The main one that's in the backyard, it doesn't latch properly.
Ah, because it doesn't fit anymore.
So pretty sure. And Presley likes to snoot over there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not a faucet in the back in that area.
Don't take this wrong. Take this in the spirit in which it is offered. I've met your dogs, two of them. And they don't seem to have the chip to be thinking, hey, this is how I get out.
No, Presley has broken into that before.
Oh, she has?
Yes, but they've never broken out of the rest of the gate.
So the X factor here is Betsy.
But Betsy didn't leave.
Of course not. Betsy's so smart, she just wants the other two to get in trouble. She set them up. That's what happened.
I am guessing that it was so dark under the house.
Yes.
That Betsy couldn't figure her way out.
Betsy knew exactly what was going on. She wanted to get the other two in trouble.
Dan Presley will stick snoot to snoot.
Right.
And Betsy's just like, la, 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 la.
But yet, Judd and Pretzels, they split up.
Yes. Well, Judd went over to where Emma, he was in front of their house.
So there's a lot of stuff in play.
This is Sergeant Sacker. Listen to me. We've traced the call. It's coming from inside the house. Our squad car's on the way over there right now. Just get out of that house.
I'm under the house, Mom.
So we sit down on the sofa, and I was like, Dan, do you realize we are the stupidest people on the planet right now? And he's like, what? And I said, that whole conversation where I was like, where is the barking coming from? It was under the house.
Yeah, the whole time.
And he's like, no, we're not stupid. Blah, blah, blah. Like, he's trying to stand up for us. And I'm like, we're stupid, Dan.
Yeah, that's not the time. Because, you know, you can't.
No, I can't reason with him at this point.
Yeah, not at this point. At least he wasn't drinking rye.
No joke.
I thought I was good. Well, I'm glad that everybody's okay.
Yes, but.
Yes.
The barking was coming from under the house.
Under, ma'am?
This is Sergeant Sacker. Listen to me. We've traced the call. It's coming from inside the house. Our squad car's on the way over there right now. Just get out of that house.
WABC. Getting to know.
Let's answer a couple questions. I know we started with questions. Don't be fussy. This is a bedrock portion of this program.
All right.
If you don't want to answer the questions, you know what you do? You say pass.
I can't screen them first?
You can pass. All right. Well, for example, you know what? A lot of stuff, they want to know a lot of stuff about Halloween. I'll lead off and you can comment to this if you like.
I hate Halloween.
I'm with you. Don't like it. Not a fan.
Okay. So pass.
But the very fact that we address that means we've addressed it. What?
Oh. Okay, so we didn't. No, I hate Halloween.
Okay, why do you hate it?
It's just not my favorite.
Yeah, I'm dressing
up.
I'm
not really a candy person.
Right.
I am an extroverted introvert.
Yes.
So going up to strangers' houses and just asking them for stuff.
Give me stuff.
Just give me stuff. It just is not. It's not really my bag. Also, not really into costumes.
Yeah, I'm not a big costume guy either, although one person asked your favorite Halloween costume, and I will say that my favorite costume maybe of all time, you had a big part of.
Oh. I know what this is.
Because it was a weird confluence of events where I was not morbidly obese at the time. And Amy Winehouse was very popular and still alive, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yes.
And so for Halloween, it was the WJFK Christmas party. No, but it was Halloween. It wouldn't have been good if I had worn that outfit to the Christmas party, would it?
That would have been weird.
A little weird, a little off the top. So what I did is I got the big wig and a rather tight, what do you call it?
A wife beater.
Yeah, wife beater undershirt and a bra under that and some torn
cutoffs.
Yeah, but what do you call the netting, the net? Fishnet stockings.
Oh, fishnet stockings.
Yes, and Katie did my makeup, and I had a massive wig, and I was Amy Winehouse, and it was the most.
I also did your tattoos.
That's right. Oh, you did hand-drawn tattoos all up and down my arms, and we
looked at various websites of her tattoos, so we would be, you know, obviously you want to keep it
accurate. But the thing that was so great is that because the Halloween party was immediately following the Mike O'Mara show, you were drawing on me during commercial breaks all through the afternoon.
She had a lot of tattoos.
And it was
a lot to
not only my most effective Halloween costume, quite obviously my most horrifying one. Katie, when did you develop your love for music?
Oh,
Nick Peterson or Pete Nickerson. Pete Nickerson. No, Nick Peterson. Nick Peterson.
I remember being really, really young, like maybe 3 or 4, and my uncle babysitting for me and my brother, and he would play guitar and sing Beatles songs to us.
That's cool. That's very cool. I can remember my first favorite band, and I've mentioned them before, is a bluegrass band called the Dillards, and I still have the LP that was gifted to me by my father that I would play on a plastic record player. It's a little beat up, as you can imagine.
This sort of beige and orange plastic record player? Was it a Fisher Price?
Mine might have been a generation or like a little more advanced than that, but because I seem to remember it being blue.
Okay.
But anyway, I've always loved music. My mom is very musical. My father was my dad for a while was a sort of a, he was a stereo head. He would, you know, he'd buy a outside equalizer. He had a reel-to-reel deck. When that was a big deal. And I still have his fantastic dual 1228 record player. So music has always been a part of my upbringing. However, I will give credit to my late Uncle George, who was the first person to really, oddly, have me examine the way the production of records sounded. He was really into Phil Spector when Phil Spector was making the girl group records. So as they became available, he would, when they would be reissued, he'd say, listen to this and listen to what happens here and listen to what's going on here. And that gave me, I've always loved music, but he gave me a more analytic take on it. And I think that's part of it that's fun. I don't know as much about music as I wish I did, like theory and construction, but enough that I can enjoy. And I can talk to my mom. My mom loves music too. This very day I played for her, it was actually yesterday, played for her some of the Abbey Road outtakes from the new Abbey Road reissue.
Ooh, very cool.
And we were listening to the orchestrations and the strings, and it's just so amazing. Stuff that is, by the time it gets mixed in with the actual record, it's almost like a wash. You almost don't hear it. And so when you hear it spotlighted, it's thrilling, and it's fun to listen to that with her. So I'd say all along, you and I probably almost from childhood, or even babyhood, infanthood.
Definitely. And I'd also remember... as a really, really little kid, my grandparents, the ones that I grew up around the corner from, they had a Wurlitzer jukebox.
Nice.
And I remember, I want to say B6 was like my favorite. It was Blondie, The Tide Is High.
Great song.
But I also remember there was...
But if it's
the Supremes, there was the Supremes, and I loved.
Come See About Me.
No.
Shoot. Love Child.
I'll remember it in like an hour and a half.
Love Child is a song about me.
But you didn't know that at the time.
No, I didn't know it was. That's why that was sort of what made it fun. Mike Ogden writes, have you
Wait. I want to keep on that.
Oh, because you have to come up with the Supremes record?
Well, no. Mark Pasquale has a question that is kind of in the same vein.
Okay.
Favorite newer band, give or take 5 years.
Okay, I like the Dave Clark Five.
I knew this was going to be hard for you.
You know what? It is one that I got sort of dragged into, but I do appreciate Fall Out Boy. I think they're a good band, and I like the singer, Patrick Stump.
It's a little older than 5 years, but that's all right. That's all right.
Hey, they're touring this summer.
Yep. Okay, so we'll go with it.
All right. I'll see if I can, while you answer, I'll see if I can come up with something more hip.
I am obsessed with, I'm sorry, I just burped.
That's fine. You get excited.
I am obsessed with Tyler Childers.
Okay.
He's from he's from Kentucky, and he has a big following in Huntington, West Virginia. So my sister introduced me to the band. What I didn't know was she's met or grew up with a couple of the band members. They're all right around 29, 30 years old.
Okay.
But he just released in August an album called Purgatory, which is fantastic. And then before that, I think maybe in 2017. Oh, no, excuse me. Purgatory was 2017. The album from this past August, 2019, it's called Country Squire.
Uh-huh.
They're both amazing, but the songs from Purgatory, Little Feathered Indian is incredible. And then on Country Squire, I love the song called All Yorn.
Okay.
And I don't want to call it bluegrass or country. It's that stuff that is very distinctly Appalachian.
So there's some crossover stuff happening.
Well, I think it's more true and honest and original to the music that I grew up with. For reference, Sturgill Simpson discovered Tyler Childers.
Okay, that puts it into context for me.
And I think they're going to tour together in 2020.
I also like The Doors. Sorry. Dog costumes.
I tried to dress Judd up as Elvis once, but he really did not like the wig.
Bill Lucan says, do you have Judd and Presley wear costumes? Do they like it? Yeah, Robert, I will say this, not Robert, as I often call my dog, my son, and call my son my dog. Linus is so averse to anything that is put on him. We one time had a costume where you strapped a jockey to his back so he looked like a horse. It was really very funny. But he hated it. And I love a dog wearing glasses. I really do. And he won't do that.
He did.
But it was a whole thing.
Oh.
I just wanted a picture. And when he sees me, like, look at him and I have glasses in my hand that I'm not wearing, he puts his snoot down because he knows they'll just slide off.
Don't do it.
Don't do it, Dad. Don't you do it.
They don't mind a thunder shirt if we've got like big boomers.
Yeah.
Which in turn,
by the way, I think that's a category.
Big boomers.
Yes.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
It's also a club.
But they do have, Judd has, they actually, all of them have Washington Nationals shirts.
But do they wear them?
Yeah, they don't mind those at all, but I think it's because they're kind of thunder shirt-ish.
But do they even wear them when the Nats are losing?
They like Dan and I, love the Washington Nationals.
Of course, of course.
Not in the way that bandwagoner Oscar Santana does.
Don't cross-promote bad feeling. Oscar's just being nice.
Well, I'm happy that he is supporting the Washington Nationals.
Yes. My mom's a huge fan.
I know. Your mom and I have talked extensively.
Greg Pallett says, pot roast or roast beef? One is more roasted and one is cooked in a pot.
Well, yeah, but one is sort of, you know, you do with it a side of roasted onions and potatoes and carrots and
Don't overthink it. It's not a tough question.
Roast beef.
Yeah, me too. Very good. And also, kosher hot dogs or regular hot dogs?
Kosher.
Absolutely. And by the way, know this. Pay attention to this palate. And ideally, Greg Palette asked the roast beef question, but this comes from Eric Myers. So pay attention to this palate, not Greg Palette. The hot dogs that you buy that are the Kirkland signature hot dogs, the Costco brand hot dogs, those are Hebrew Nationals. Mark my word.
I'm pretty sure that we had this discussion before.
Well, we tend to return to the things that are important to me. I don't follow politics, but you want to talk hot dogs? I'm all in. Sharon Bailey writes.
I like the snap.
She drinks Moët Chandon in a fancy cabinet. Forget it.
Let them eat cake, she said. Just like Marie Antoinette.
Sharon Bailey writes, sweet potato. Or I could have been doing West Side Story. That was feeble.
You appropriately changed your tempo of your snaps.
Thank you very much. I couldn't still whistle worth a damn. Sharon Bailey.
Snaps for that.
Sweet potato or pumpkin pie for the holidays?
Pumpkin pie.
Me too. I'm not averse to a sweet potato pie, but I'm just a pumpkin guy.
For the holidays.
Yeah. Holidays. You know what they are, don't you? They're holidays. That's a line from Holiday Inn. Come with me. You'll enjoy it. It's a good show. Okay. Rick Schofield, good guy, writes, have you ever had to slice your own bologna?
Well, yeah.
It's a category. I have never sliced it myself, but I've had it sliced at the delicatessen.
So, Northern Ohio, sort of Dutch country.
Yes.
Pennsylvania, Ohio, Dutch. They have, I think we've talked about this before, it's spicy bologna.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if you buy bologna like that, you get what you see at the supermarket. You get a big...
Yeah, hunk.
Yeah, so you have to slice it yourself.
Comes in a chub.
What?
That's grocery store talk for one of those things of meat. It's a chub.
Ah.
Have you ever owned a meat slicer?
No, and we got rid of the mandolin.
Good. Good, because...
After Dan's incident.
But amazingly, with all this talk of music, maybe you could buy a mandolin. But one with four strings.
Okay.
I can play bluegrass music without cutting my fingers. Use the finger guard!
You gotta have the finger pick.
Are you ready to start the show?
Yes.
Good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Hope you enjoyed yourself as we did. Go on out now and slice your bologna.
Oh, can I answer one more question?
Yeah. Stop the music. Stop the music. Go ahead.
I'm going to let you answer this question.
Good.
Hold on. I have to find it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Scrolling.
Sure.
Will the Von Hermans be attending the convention in Vegas this year?
Well, obviously, but if by convention you mean the porno awards, yes.
What?
No. Yes, of course. Katie's the stage manager for TMOS Live.
I'm very excited. And Dan is coming along, so I get to boss him around.
He's a stagehand, but there will be that great moment, probably on the Saturday night show, when he comes out, looks at the audience and says, hey, give me that candy cane.
Give me that candy cane!
Yes, they will be there, I promise. And that is a tremendous comfort to me because Katie gets stuff done. Oscar referred to you as a pit bull.
A bulldog.
Oh.
Not a pit bull, a bulldog. I mean, not much difference there, but...
Well, one is very popular in Miami.
I'm not the biggest fan of being called that.
But it was meant with praise.
He did. He said, you're a bulldog. You get done.
But he said the word.
He said the word. I stopped myself. I'm pretty impressed with my...
your censorship.
Myself. I usually don't self-censor very
and then
well.
And then he screamed, go Nationals! I've always been a fan.
I've always been a fan!
Folks, we'll do it again real soon. Thank you so much for joining us. And remember, Cake and Cookies is brought to you by...
Candy canes!
Hey! Give me that candy cane! I'm Cake.
I'm Cookie.
We'll see you next time. So long, everybody.
Toodaloo!
Portions not affecting the outcome of today's game may have been edited prior to today's broadcast. Cake and Cookies, The Rob and Katie Show. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.